Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the RotoViz Baseball Show on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I am again joined today by Conor O'Driscoll. We've had him on for a couple of shows, so we've talked through his series up on RotoViz.com about not overthinking how to build unique baseball rosters. Today, we are going to talk about fixing hyperfragile. We did talk about zero RB. We talked about hero RB over the last two shows. If you haven't heard those ones, you can head back and check them out on the RotoViz Baseball podcast feed. Make sure you are subscribed to the feed. We'll have lots of content coming out from myself, from Zach Kruger. And, you know, we will have shows from the likes of myself and Sean Siegel, where we're doing some of these baseball drafts, and we'll be posting them up there from time to time as well, and some content from the likes of Ben Gretsch, Curtis Patrick, Dave Caban, and all the gang up on the RotoViz Radio team will be having some of their baseball drafts posted up there. And the fun thing about doing those drafts and then posting up on the feeds is, like the draft that we did come, we'll mention it one more time, Connor, we came second to you in the FFPC baseball tournament, and we came second, myself and Blair and Sean, but that show was recorded and we were able to post it before the final week of that tournament. We were able to listen back to it, and it's fun to hear back those drafts and to see how it went. And that was a massive success. I know we came second, but you came first, but $125,000 in prize money going to the RotoViz team in that tournament as we took the 1-2 finish. So hopefully we'll have some success again this season. We did have a lot of the other parts of the RotoViz team, including Curtis Patrick, over in the underdog tournament, finishing pretty high up there as well. So let's have a big year this year. And to do that, you can read Connor's work up on rotoviz.com, but you can also follow him on Twitter, which is at DricoOut, DricoOut. You can check out all his content that's posted up there and all the information if you want to interact with him on Twitter. We're hoping that we get him to 1,000 subscribers before week one of the NFL season. So head on over, give him that follow. Much appreciated. But Connor, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Colm.
We're going to dive into fixing hyperfragile. I guess we'll start off with hyperfragile first. You know, we talk about these, I often say this, we talk about strategies, we talk about the intricacies of it, the structure of these teams, and sometimes because we're talking about it all the time, we're just like, yeah, everyone knows that all the time. But do you want to give a quick summary of hyperfragile and what that structure is trying to achieve versus, let's say, a zero RB structure?
Yeah, so this is a hyperfragile is a structure for if you really like drafting early running backs. It's the best way to combine all these things, get your early running backs without sacrificing too much on the other positions. And what it entails is you're taking your third running back in round four or earlier, and then you generally stop at four or five, depending on how the draft goes. And so you're loading up on quality, but you're limiting the quantity. And one thing that's really interesting about this structure is that it didn't work very well in underdog last year. And which is a little bit surprising because it is a half point PPR. So you would expect that to help the hyperfragile teams more than, let's say, anchor or zero running back. But And despite being used by about 1 in 10 teams, it just had horrible results. It didn't advance to the playoffs well. It didn't fare well in the semifinals. And then it got only 0.08% teams to the finals. And you'd be tempted to say, oh, hey, that's because of this running back or that running back. But believe it or not, it's not the running back's fault. It's the way the structure has been implemented. Because by taking these running backs early, oftentimes they do that at the expense of taking an elite tight end or early quarterbacks. And these drafters, they kind of get funneled into these three quarterback or three tight end or sometimes both builds. And as we discussed in the first series, that is just not going to cut it in tournaments. You're not giving yourself the weekly upside that you need, or even the season long upside that you need with that approach. So when we talk about fixing this structure, I guess to give some stats, of these hyper fragile teams, only about 20% are going two quarterback and two tight ends. And that is, like I said, that's just not going to cut it. Interestingly, in hyper-fragile builds, they actually, one thing that's interesting about these hyper-fragile teams is that they actually use elite quarterback a lot more often than elite tight end. Well, a little bit more often, 29% versus 21%. And that is kind of a big mistake, because you are sacrificing, by going elite quarterback over two quarterbacks in the window, you're sacrificing about 2% of playoff rate, which is a big deal. You're sacrificing about 0.5% of semifinal rate, and then you are sacrificing some final rate there as well. And the reason why that's a bad idea is because you go hyper-fragile and then elite quarterback. You're essentially just saying there's no chance that you're going to get an elite tight end. And we talked a lot about why you need the elite tight end and why it's a mistake to just forego that. And so if you actually, instead of going elite quarterback, you go elite tight end, and then the beauty of using the two quarterbacks in the window is that that doesn't overlap with elite tight end or hyper-fragile. So you get your running backs, you get your tight end, and then your picks in round 6 through 12 can be used for quarterbacks. And I guess you fill out your wide receivers and your TE2 and your RB4 after that. You are just improving the results so much. So by combining two quarterbacks in the window and elite tight end to hyper-fragile, you are improving your semifinal rate from 1.4% to 3.96%, which is just a huge jump. And by the way, only 379 teams in the whole tournament actually did that, combined those structures. So you can just see just these hyper-fragile drafters just getting funneled into these suboptimal constructions. Whereas when you want to do hyper-fragile, you add so much by just, I guess, playing it optimally. And then on top of that, and this is kind of like an ancillary, it's kind of like on top of those mistakes, oftentimes the hyper-fragile drafters, they're taking their RB4 too early. And so if you actually lay that out to pass round 8, you actually get a 19.5% playoff rate. And so you've gone from 14% to 19.5%. Huge deal. Semifinal rate gone up to 5.7%. And then 0.5% of teams getting to the final. Only 0.14% of teams in Best Ball Mania 2 did that last year. And just to make sure that we're not just over-optimizing from a fluky 2021 season, if you look at FanBall for 2017 through 2020, you get a 14.3% win rate, which is actually, it's like 5.5% stronger than, or sorry, 6.5% stronger than the baseline for that strategy. It's probably this kind of structure is probably the best example of just exploiting mistakes that your opponent are making by just playing it optimally, and you get your usage rate, your utilization rate down to almost nothing.
See, when you're talking, I just want to make the point to people listening who may not be familiar with the win percentages or may not be using the tools on the website. When you're talking about increasing the percentages of some of these advanced rates, or you know, you mentioned there like 0.5% is the amount of teams that made the final. You know, they are massive numbers. In general circumstances, you know, increasing something by 1% or 2% doesn't seem like a big number in these best ball tournaments. When you're talking about over the course of a season trying to get into the prize money, those little differences are massive. And a lot of those differences that you've touched on there, Connor, are just for when you draft the player, not even the player you draft, just for how to implement the structure correctly. The other thing I was going to mention is, you know, we talked in the Zero RB episode about people saying, it doesn't win. Does it win? I've never seen it win a tournament. When will it ever win a tournament? And so on. And it's the same with this. Like, a lot of people are drafting some form of robust or hyper-fragile running back draft. And because there's such a volume being used in this, like, nobody ever talks about, well, it was used in 50% of the drafts and not, like, you know, one of those teams won out of all them teams. You know, it's a massive sample size. You touched there on the amount of teams that actually implemented all the things you talked about correctly in the tournament. So I think, again, like, you know, using it correctly is vital. You said about, if you do get those running backs, you need to wait a little bit and get the quarterback in the quarterback window rather than going for the real top end quarterback in the fourth or fifth round, and then the elite tight end has to come in there. So a lot of it is solely about making the right decisions at the right times. And again, I mentioned this and I can't reiterate this enough. The win percentages or the advanced percentages are they might seem tiny, but those numbers do really translate into success.
You're talking about the difference between losing half your bankroll and possibly winning some money.
And I did touch there on robust running back, and then obviously we're looking at hyper fragile. And you mentioned taking, you know, three running backs in the first three rounds, let's say. For people listening that maybe aren't familiar and they've heard us in the past talking about zero RB, now they're hearing us talking about hyper fragile. And I know some of the teams you've drafted this year with Sean, and I've drafted a couple of teams, and they are hyper fragile builds. And then people are like, well, that's not zero running back. It's always zero running back. What's the difference then in when we're talking about not doing a robust running back draft versus implementing a correct hyper fragile approach?
Well, I think something that we've always talked about is that none of us here are married to one structure. We're never going to just, hey, I'm going to do the same structure every draft, no matter what. That's just what I'm going to do. A lot of it is focused around taking players that we like and then combining that in different ways to make sure that the entire roster is strong. Where that kind of comes into play is, so we've seen running backs in round 1, 2, and 3 that we really like, right? We've taken, let's say, CMC, we've taken DeAndre Swift, and then we finished up with Saquon Barkley. And so we really like those players. We've put out our fence to take these stands on these running backs. And then what separates that hyper fragile from robust running back is that if you're playing robust running back, you've taken those three running backs, and then you're saying, oh, well, actually, on top of that, I like this other running back, and I like this other running back. And so you've taken three early, and then maybe you finished up with 5 or 6. And so by finishing up with 5 or 6, what essentially that means that you've done is you haven't taken wide receivers early, and then you haven't taken as many wide receivers as you need to, given that you haven't taken them early. And so where hyperfragile separates that is from that is, okay, we've taken our early running backs, and then we're going to make up for the lack of quality in receivers that we're used to with 9 or 10, because this is best ball. We know that all wide receiver scoring is volatile. And so we're not going to have Cooper Kupp. We're not going to have Jamar Chase. but we're just going to have a bunch more. And we hope that those scores combined with our three great running backs at the start just carry us through. Whereas, like I said, Robust RB, they are ignoring the early receivers, and then sometimes they're only taking five or six, and that's just not enough. It's just not going to help you win in the playoffs. You might win in the playoffs, but you're making it very difficult for yourself.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and the other key part, just to reiterate as well, is when you are taking those running backs is to cap it and cap it at four running backs in general with these 18 round bills. Is that what you'd advise to people listening?
Yeah, generally, you really do want to. You want to cap it. I do think that depending on how late you take that fourth running back, like if you take your fourth running back in, say, round 16, it probably is okay to take a fifth one. But if you're taking your fourth running back in round 10 or so, then, yeah, you really got to stick at four there because you just need the volume at wide receiver to make up for the quality.
The last question I'm going to finish up with today, and this is one really putting you on the spot because we haven't discussed this at all before the show, but on the series, when we originally started last year, myself and Zachary Kruger went through numerous different, you know, options like this for the builds overall, for the tools on the website and different things like that. So the question I have for you is, out of the tools that you're using in these particular articles in this series, the series again is Don't Overthink Building Unique Baseball Mania 3 Rosters. This one is Fixing Hyperfragile. It will be linked to in today's show notes. Which of the tools on the website are you using and like finding the one that if you were sending to people listening today, they haven't used the tools on the website, they're just reading the articles, dive into the tools. I'm recommending that to you. Which tool do you send for them to jump in first?
The tool that I would most recommend is the roster construction tool, the Underdog Roster Construction Explorer. And that is so useful in seeing A, what combinations worked, and also B, what people actually did last year. So one thing that's really interesting is that it, when you put in these settings, so let's say you put in into this tool that I'm going to pull up here in front of myself, that you put in, hey, you start off, you look at the tool and you start off with the amount of teams. Okay, we've got 155,375 teams here. And now what we're going to do is, let's say we put in RB1 after round 5. You can now see the number of teams that did that, how it did in the playoffs, how it did in the semifinals, how it did in the finals. And you can do that with all these positions. You can do it with, oh, how did taking my quarterback 2 before round 10? How did that do? how to take in quarterback two before round 10. And then I find these can be really useful in slow drafts when you're trying to figure out which position should I go, how often do people do this. And so I can see, hey, quarterback two before round 10, 19.4% playoff rate. Love that. And then I can see that only 11,500 teams actually did that and stuck at two quarterbacks. I love that. And I guess it's that sort of question when you're building your teams, when you're drafting your teams, being able to answer that yourself on demand with whatever customization that you want. I think that's so valuable. And then one thing that I would also recommend is you also have the FanBall Roster Construction Explorer. And you can kind of check that with the older data with 2015 through 2021 and see how does that hold up with the bigger sample size. I think that is a really valuable exercise.
That's a great piece of advice. Now, I'd also advise that we do have that available on the website for the FFPC as well. Again, listeners listening, I think the Dogs really want to let us know that they are going robust running back. They're not interested in the hyper-fragile approach this year, but I would recommend that if you're listening, to go hyper-fragile. If you aren't going modified or zero RB in drafts this year to help set you up for success. Again, this article will be listed in the show notes today, but if you want to sign up, get access to the tools, access to the content up on the website, you can get a 10% discount to a one-year Rotoviz subscription by using the code RBRadio2022 at checkout. And that will give you access to all of the content and all of the tools and help you set up for your drafts in 2022. Once again, I am joined today by Connor O'Driscoll. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at DricoOut, which is DricoOut. Connor is a writer on Rotoviz.com and is also the 2021 FFPC Best Ball Tournament Champion. Check him out on Twitter. Make sure you're giving him a follow. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Until we're back with another podcast, have a good one.